Randy Carlson here at the Intentional Living Center. When we think of our adult sibling relationships, all sorts of emotions can come to the surface. For some, it's distance, hurt, pain, closeness, love, support. What comes to mind when you think about adult sibling relationships? You can divorce a spouse, but you can't divorce your siblings. Who you are today has more to do with your interactions as you grew up, your birth order, how you related as children, the family you grew up in, than frankly the person you choose to marry. Your pain point may be your marriage. I find this over the years that people's immediate pain point is a marriage and parenting and finance, often putting the sibling relationship off to the side because it's past or it's out there, which it may be, but it's still real to you, isn't it? The threads of the pain or the threads of the difficulty can be there. 97% of people say a good relationship with adults matter, with adult siblings, and yet 63% of the research I did report unresolved issues with adult siblings. So from my book, The Cain and Abel Syndrome, Getting Along with Your Adult Siblings, let's dive in today. Our phone lines are open with your comments on our comment line, 888-888-1717. Let's start with Danielle. Danielle, welcome to the program.
Hi, doctor. How are you today?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm in Phoenix, Arizona. It's hot today.
Terrific. Well, I'm glad you called. What's your comment on this?
Well, I have an older sister. She's 3.5 years older than me, and we did not have a very close relationship growing up. And now in our adulthood, we're both in our 40s.
Mm-hmm.
I try very hard to be close to her, and she is just a very reserved, unaffectionate person.
Now, when you were kids, Danielle, when you were kids, you said you didn't get along that well. Well, did you fight, or you just weren't close, or you didn't communicate, or what?
Both. We fought a lot, a lot of competition.
Uh-huh.
I felt like I grew up in her shadow, and I was always trying to come above that. And I got to my adulthood, and I would set myself up for disappointment with her because I would expect something from her and then not get it. Mm-hmm.
Is that still the case? If you're being honest with yourself, you're still trying to get her acceptance?
A little bit, but I've gotten to the point where I realized it's more her problem than mm-hmm. mine with not being able to give that to people for her. Mm-hmm. And for me, I realized that I was turning something into toxic.
Yeah, and that can happen. Now, when you were kids, Danielle, when you had an argument, how did your parents handle your disagreements?
My parents were, I hate to say this, I love, my mom is gone and my dad is 80, and they weren't very affectionate parents. They didn't get involved. They owned a bar. We lived above it. So it was kind of, we took care of ourselves.
Uh-huh.
And so my sister was, you know, she was like a mom and a dad to me. You know, when my parents weren't around, and I have a lot of resentment. I feel,
okay.
You know, I have a lot of resentment towards her.
Yeah, and maybe towards your parents, too.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah, yeah.
A lot.
Yeah, Danielle, listen, I think we can, all listening in here, we can kind of hear the dynamic. Here's big sister, who had to be the big sister, and also sounds like the parent in many ways. My guess is if I talk to big sister, she probably has some resentment as well about the position she was placed in. And so you guys didn't have what we might call a normal kind of sibling relationship, where we encourage parents with siblings, let them disagree, but train them on how to resolve issues. Don't take favorites. Don't become into the fairness trap. Letting kids learn how to work out their differences. I think sometimes we short circuit a good adult sibling relationships when kids are younger by jumping in and say, no, you can't do that. You're no argument in this home. You're never going to disagree in this home. And so kids never grow up to learn how to talk to each other and resolve issues together and get close to each other. Now, the intentions are good, right? For parents many times, but the outcome isn't what we want. So, Danielle, can I encourage you to do this? I'm only hearing the surface of what's going on, and this may be tough for you, but can I encourage you to go to your sister and say, you know, sister, I love you. I just want to thank you. I know when we were growing up, mom and dad were distracted with all their stuff, and that's bothered me. But I just want to say thanks for the fact that I I knew you were there. I knew you had a lot of load on your back to be the big sister and more of a parent at times. And I just want to say thanks for what you did. Even though we didn't get along necessarily as well as I'd like, I just want to thank you for being my big sister.
You know what? I think, Dr. Ray, that is a wonderful, wonderful, encouraging idea. And I will. I will do that today after work. I will give her a call, and I will do that.
Yeah, well, good. And then you call back and let us know on our comment line how that turned out, okay?
I would love to, and I thank you for your program every day. You are a gift from God for so many people, and I hope that you know that every day.
Well,
and
thank you.
I enjoy your program so much, and I enjoy this station, and I hope you guys are around forever.
Well, thank you. We'll be around somewhere forever, right? But maybe not on the radio. Thank you, Danielle. I'm glad. And I hope you, as you do that, then you don't have to go off beyond that and get into other issues. Just share that. And just listen then at that moment and just let it unfold in a positive way. I'm telling you something, encouragement is irresistible in a positive way. It really is. Okay, quick break. We'll be back. More calls. We're talking adult sibling relationships. Here's what you say. 93% of you in my survey said you expect your children to grow up and get along with each other, their siblings. And yet 63% report unresolved issues. So if those stats hold, there's a 63% chance that in your family, your kids are not going to get along with each other when they grow up, unless maybe something changes in your home. I do write about that in the book, about things you can do. And I can just say in summary, I'll tell you in summary what those are in a couple minutes.
In our social media crazed world, isn't it nice that there's a place to encourage your intentional life?
I find something new every morning when I visit.
I get great nuggets of encouragement. Some of the comments are amazing.
The Intentional Living Facebook page is here for you to help you stay intentional, to encourage you, and let you know that in your walk, you're really not alone.
It's the one place on Facebook I actually like seeing show up on my wall.
Find out what's on today's show and join the conversation. Go to facebook.com/intentionalliving and click like today.
What do you do when you disagree about money in your marriage? Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. Many couples just fight or they ignore it because money is an emotional topic. Just bring it up sometime and see what happens. How you handle your money in your marriage reflects your values, your goals, and your hopes for the future. And it's either a point of great intimacy and closeness in your marriage as you develop goals together and a budget for the future, or it becomes a point of pain. We find that couples that intentionally follow the 10-10-80 policy, which from intentional living means tithing, which is biblical and God's expectation and command to us, saving 10% consistently, and learning to live on the other 80% will make you happier and less stressed and closer in your marriage. And when you do those things, that's intentional living.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com.
And I'll add, it'll make you healthier. I heard a research study today, in fact, that says debt creates greater depression, anxiety, and mental health issues, especially for millennials with all the college debt and issues going on. So as you're able to deal with the finances and build margin into your finances, you can do it intentionally, make a difference. That's the Intentional Living Minute, 60 seconds every day for radio around the country and around the world online. And now on Facebook, we take the video version of that and we post it every morning. And so if you like the Intentional Living page, a new video will come to your newsfeed daily. Just go to facebook.com/intentionalliving. You know, this is the last week of the last month in our fiscal year. I know it's a June, but our fiscal year, meaning the way we, you know, do our books for the ministry, goes from July 1st to June 30th. We wrap up here this week, and we got a ways to go yet to finish strong. Can I just add, I'm just going to bluntly ask, could you stretch out and share an additional love gift? Maybe you give every month, thank you. Could you give a 13th month? That would be such a great help. And we got a special gift just this week. You have to get involved this week in this month of June here. It's from our Art That Speaks to You. It's a beautiful work of art. It's a painting done by my wife, Donna, called Finish Strong. It's a 16 by 20 print of her work of art of a very strong-looking tree growing deep into the ground. Beautiful painting with all the colors that you would see in the summertime. And then on it are the 10 things that we want to say at the end of our life, to say I finished strong, that I discovered and lived God's purpose for my life. I left no unfinished business behind. I loved people and used things. I was confident of my relationship with Christ. I honored God in each essential area of life. These are just reminders to say, hey, every day I want that to be true in my life, intentionally. You can ask for it today when you share that gift. We'll get it to you. Go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, or you can call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717. All right? Okay. I'm going to get to those things. I mentioned some things for parenting. I'll get to those in a moment. Let's get back to the calls first, though. Pat is in Arizona. Pat, welcome to the program.
Yeah. Hi. Thank you. Appreciate it.
What's your question today?
Well, how do I, in a Christian manner, approach my sister, who's 6 years older than me, then 13 years ago cheated me out of my inheritance and has, you know, just said horrible things about me to people. And I always wanted her to be my best friend, but my entire lives, other than when I was helping her do something, she has hated me.
Mm. You're talking about beyond just the inheritance. You're talking history even before that.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay, so it's not a specific incident. It's a pattern, as you feel it, at least your experience in the relationship. And by the way, Pat, this is one of the things I've seen in important, powerful relationships. We always judge ourselves by our intention. If we had your sister on, she would probably have a different story. She would say, my intention was good on this and that. But we always judge other people by our expectations. And whenever our expectations aren't clearly understood, it creates disappointment, or in your case, some real problems in a relationship. And the inheritance is a big deal. And I have seen this over and over. Sometimes it's little things. Sometimes it's not the money or some big house or some big issue. It could be that little trinket that they got that I thought I should have gotten. This is why at Intentional Living, we tell parents it's your responsibility to make sure your estate is in place and everything is worked out so your kids don't have anything to fight over. That's our job. Don't leave it for them just to have to resolve it. And so that's a point. So for you, Pat, here's what I encourage you to do. And it may not work because you got a real breach in your relationship with your sister. I'd pray for her every day and work on your own attitude. You're going to have to forgive, which means that I say to God, and maybe even to your sister, maybe not, but at least to God, to say, I ask you to help me forgive her in my heart. And then as you have opportunity, the scripture says, to do good, to reach out to her. But I'll tell you what, sometimes these breaches are so significant, it's unfortunate, but it can be a lifelong pattern. But I would do everything I possibly could, okay? Teresa, let's go in Wisconsin. Teresa, welcome to the program.
Yes, thank you.
Appreciate it. Go right ahead.
I have a situation just like your last caller, something that's a pattern that happened many years ago. And it seemed like once I was in the middle or did divorce, my sister-in-law tried to be helpful but was controlling at the same time in different things. And then next thing, that brother who I was so close to, we were only 10 months apart, that he then started believing everything that she said. He started siding with her.
About what? And, was it, I don't need all the details, but was it about something going on between you and your sister-in-law?
Yeah, you name it. She may have told me the truth about something at her employment that she wasn't getting. Let's say one good example, that she was telling me, well, you know, yeah, I sit here and read magazines. She wished she had more work to do. And I'm the one that helped her get the position, but it was a family-owned position, and she was the first one that was non-family to come in, and they were just having a hard time letting go of things, too, you know.
Was this your family business?
No, a family business.
All right, so you helped her get a job, yeah. And then she was mm-hmm. saying things about her job, and you're saying, I know that's not true. And then...
No, I didn't say it's not true. It's my brother, when something got repeated, it got turned around, twisted, as that I said something and she claimed that, you know, Connie said that.
Hey, Teresa, let me ask a question.
Yeah.
Is it a big deal? Does it really matter?
No, it's the fact is that my brother then, it continued on to more things, me okay. and my employment, me and the divorce when I did a pro se divorce. I was one that was a people pleaser growing up and did everything for anybody and for their family. And all of a sudden, I just got to be like the black sheep of the family.
So okay, so it's been a series of things, especially with your brother. Is it other yeah. siblings as well or just your brother primarily?
Well, growing up, that one brother and I were like two peas in a pod, where we had the best friends that were brother and sister. Mm-hmm. Where,
but I'm thinking now, what I was asking is now, do you have a good relationship with the other siblings, or is this true of all of them?
Oh, now?
Yeah.
No, not my mom passed, and bingo, I wasn't even, there was games played that I wasn't even able to be there. I was off work that day, which they didn't know that, but I was off work and I wasn't notified enough to go see her. And I call a funeral home and they said, you can't come, because to find out once they get to the funeral home, they basically wouldn't allow me what? To see her. So that's
wait. Your siblings won't allow you to come to your own mom's funeral?
My own mom being at the funeral home.
And who wouldn't let you go to the funeral home?
The funeral attendant or the owner said, and to find out it's a vote of the family members. If more family members say one thing over another, then you can't come. And eventually I was able to, but
okay.
here that whole day I was off work. And
all right.
when they had the meeting,
okay.
I wasn't invited.
Yeah. All right. Well, what I hear, Teresa, is that you've got more than just an issue with your sister-in-law, and this is typical. We'll start with one thing, but there's usually a bigger pattern going on. Teresa, let me ask you this question as quickly as you can. What one thing do you really wish you could have in this relationship that you don't have now?
Well, I wish I could have just my brother back to talk to, and I wish my son now, he's turned out like them. You know, I wish I could have been to their graduations. We invited them to my son's graduation. The next thing after that, I didn't get invited to one.
Okay. Well, listen, Teresa.
I would love to.
You want to have a good relationship, but it sounds like it's now going to the next generation, even your own son.
Yes.
Okay. Can I encourage Teresa? Listen, there's a pattern. All your siblings are not, now your son. Can I encourage you? I think it would be healthy for you to find a Christian counselor, a woman that you really trust. And just share with them in terms of what's going on in the relationships and ask them to help you develop a strategy to find out how can I, because your goal is you want a better relationship. They're not going to change. You may have to change. You may have to sit down with a counselor and say, what can I do? What steps can I take? What things in my life need to change in order for me to be intentional in a relationship, to build a relationship with my siblings and back with my son? Because
and I've done all that. Yeah, okay. I've already done that for years.
All right.
Well, 20 some years. Yeah.
Well, all right. Well, then I would with the counselor, whatever he or she's saying to you, I'd ask, what steps can I take? What one thing? Here's the thing. What one thing can you do? I'd focus on one thing that could most likely develop a better relationship with my son. I would start with one person. I wouldn't try to do it with all. I would start with my son. That's where I would begin. And I would sit down with my son and I would ask him, honey, listen, can you talk to me, share with me what is going on? What one thing can I do? How can I build a relationship? What steps can I take to regain that kind of relationship with you? That's where I would begin, because you can't do it with everybody. You got to do it with one relationship at a time.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
I believe that when these aha moments occur in our life, they're very powerful. they're also very dangerous. Because all of us have had moments in time where we thought that we were given something special and we realized later that it was wrong, it was an error, right? And it says in Scripture, John tells us in 1 John chapter 4, he says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world." And so as we talk about aha moments today, I want to make sure that everything is under the umbrella, that we better test it to make sure that it's of God. Because if it's not, we can get in big trouble. Aha moments, you know, you deal with those correctly, the oh no moments are less significant and further between each one, right? This month, the teaching has been Aha Moments Can Change Your Life. Members, you should have received it by now if you've requested it. It comes automatically every month to those who do. Thank you. And if you're not a member, come and join us. Great time as we're wrapping up this month of June in our fiscal year. If you become a member, share that first gift. Be as generous as you can. We appreciate it. We'll make sure the teaching comes your way if you ask for it, the print as well on Finishing Strong. Just go to theintentionallife.com. Click on the donate button. Thank you. Appreciate it. Or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717. You know, I mentioned when it comes to sibling rivalry and training your children so they can avoid some of the same mistakes. Watch out for the idea of the scarcity mentality that can happen in families. There's some kids start to think there's only so much love and attention to go around. Treat your kids differently. They're all unique. They have different intelligence, different strengths, different interests. I mean, you see it between your first and second, right? I mean, they're totally different in many ways. And so have not a scarcity mentality, but there's plenty to go around. And as you get into the behind the eyes of each of your children, treating them uniquely different, letting God, you know, fulfill in them what God has for them. I used to tell my kids when they went to bed every night, listen, I don't know what God's going to do with you and through you as you grow up, but you have this gift. And I would share what gift I saw in each of them and try to encourage them to see that they can use the gift that God's given them for His glory and for their benefit in the rest of their lives. Adult sibling relationships. George wants to weigh in here and from Arizona. George, welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Randy. How are you?
Good. Appreciate your call. What's your question?
Well, I'm just kind of trying to figure out where to go next, how to handle what's been going on for now. I mean, it seems like eternity, but it's only been 3 years. But
well, what's going on?
It seems like a long time. I have a sister. We're 6 months apart. Mm-hmm. I'm the oldest, and we used to have a very, very good relationship. Together, we went to school together. We went to college together. We were very close. And then I'm married, and I got married. And unfortunately, my wife and my sister do not see eye to eye on a lot of things. And they both have pretty strong personalities. And my wife kind of put. Kind of disconnected herself from her, and in that, I also unfortunately I also have to disconnect from my sister, and it's just been,
why do you have to disconnect from your sister?
Well, at the end of the day, it's my wife. She is very she just doesn't have a connection with her, and she has almost like a hate for her.
So she's basically saying, George, it's either her or me?
Yeah, it's kind of like, even though the words haven't been said, it's just the idea of like, this is the choice you got to make. If you're going to be with her, it's going to be rough treading. And if you're going to, you know, be with me, everything's happy.
Now, your sister's not saying that. Your sister hasn't said that. I mean, it sounds if I'm hearing you, you're saying your wife has kind of put down the gauntlet, as it were, draw a line in the sand, saying it's either her or me. And she's basically saying she didn't want you to have anything to do with her?
Yeah, essentially that's the case.
Is that justified? Let me ask you, is it justified?
I would say it's not justified because it's nothing. It's the issues are petty.
And my guess is this is impacting your relationship with your wife. She's asking you to really give up your sister, which sounds like over petty stuff, because of things that she's struggling with.
That is correct, and it's also unfortunately created a disconnect between my parents and I. And
yeah. You're in a tough spot, George. Listen, and you're not alone. I've heard this in other stories, and God love you. It's not the way it should be, and I know you hurt for this. Just a couple thoughts. One is, I think I'd communicate with my sister. I'd say, listen, sis, I love you. This is a tough thing. Pray for me. I'm trying to work with my wife, and I need to honor her. She's a priority in my life right now. This doesn't reflect my love for you. Would you just give me some grace? And not only that, would you give us some space and understand that there is a walk on an eggshell kind of thing here? In other words, some way of communicating with your family, hey, just give me some space right now. I just need it, maybe for a few months, maybe for a few years. But I love you. And give yourself freedom then to really connect with your wife, continue to build a relationship with her, and to have an honest discussion about how this hurts you. You have a right to be able to say, you know, honey, I whatever's going on between you and my sisters, between the two of you, but it hurts for you to say I can't even have a relationship with her. And, you know, there's got to be some growth and maturity in that relationship. I think taking those two basic steps, in other words, acknowledging the issue with your sister and then talking to your wife. Here's what's happening. In fact, in the book, The Cain and Abel Syndrome, I talk about a little triangle, how it's so easy for us to have this feeling that we get in the middle between my wife and my sister. You'd like to be able to say, both of you grow up and go deal with it. I'm resigning from this and backing off. But that's probably not practical with your situation. But I do think it's practical to be able to say to your parents and to your sister, pray for me, give me some space, and then really pray that God will move in your wife and in that relationship. Well, we're praying for you, George. That's why we wrote Cain and Abel. We'll pray that God will do a miracle. If you missed any of today's program, by the way, it's available wherever you find your podcast. It's there. Maybe you want to share it with someone. I hope you take away from today that sibling relationships matter and that you'll be intentional with yours. I'm Randy Carlson for the entire team here. God bless you, and we'll see you next time.